Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3. There is a story in 2 Kings 3. In that chapter, there are six different characters that stand out. And I would like to bring these six characters to the stage this morning, if they can come alive. So, 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, became the king over Israel at Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. So the first character is the face of the evil. That is Jehoram. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, though not like his father and his mother, for he put away the sacred pillar of Baal, which his father had made. Do you see the face of the evil? And he demolished the sacred pillar of Baal. And when Jehoram did that, to me it looks like, wow, you did not follow your father. And your father invented the sacred pillar of Baal. And you were dead against it. And you totally threw out of the nation of Israel. Come on, claps for you. But this is a face of evil. Settling down, okay. This is the face of evil, right? So you see that the house is totally swept and it is empty and it is garnished in Matthew chapter 12 verse 44:45. The house is clean and the evil spirit is gone out of the house. Wow, what a deliverance. But that is one of the face of the devil, one of the face of the evil. And the unclean spirit goes and brings seven others. And did you notice that if this guy who cleaned and who swept Israel out of the Baal out of Israel and the sacred pillar, which actually came back, and in verse 3, nevertheless, Jehoram clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel sin, and he did not depart from them. This is the face of evil. And you thought, okay, so it's gone. But he comes up with another. The principle is the same. The spirit is the same. Okay, yeah, this president has come. And he has actually cleansed the entire country. You know what? Wait and see. And he takes another face. And this is the face of the evil. The principle is the same, but the form is different. Instead of Baal, it is going to be golden calf henceforth. Baal is gone. Oh, okay, wow. The idol is gone. And he is going to bring another idol. This is the first character. And did you notice that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 44 and 45, when Jesus Christ mentions about the house that is empty and swept and garnished, the spirit is gone out. But seven more spirits come. You know why? Because the house is not washed. It is empty, it is garnished, it is swept, but there is no the water of the word. And this change is not because God brought in. Probably he thought, okay, instead of Baal, I should have golden calf. And what happens in verse 4 is, the second characters in third and all this. Now Mesha, the king of Moab, was sheep breeder. And this is how the Antichrist will be. When Antichrist comes, look at the face of the evil. And he is going to preach peace. The nation of Israel will say, wow, this is the guy who, like, see here, Baal is out of the window. And the nation of Israel will come. And then there is another form of evil. But the principle is the same. And in verse 4, Mesha, the king of Moab, the sheep breeder, used to pay the king of Israel, that is to Ahab, 100,000 lambs. And wool of 100,000 rams. When Ahab died, that is Jehoram's father, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria. At that time he mustered all Israel. And he went and sent a word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, King of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? And he said, I will go up. This is the second character. The believer did not discern the face of the evil because he has already made an alliance. Jehoshaphat's son is married to Ahab's daughter in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 verse 1. And this guy says, Jehoshaphat, he is a type of believer, did not discern in making an alliance. Apostle Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians 6:14. What has light to do with darkness? Do you think that Belial and Christ is the same? Do you think that the temple of God and idol are the one? Do you think that the righteousness and lawless is the same? And here is our second character, is a type of a believer did not discern and did not ask God before he entered into alliance with Jehoram. And he says, I am as you are, my people as you are, my horses are your horses. Did you notice what Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16? Ruth said, your God will be my God. I'm sorry, Jehoshaphat was not able to say that. Because the God of Jehoshaphat was Yahweh. But the God of Jehoram was golden calf. And he came up to this, I am you. And your people are my people. My horses are your horses. My God. That is the second character. Pastor Tozer, right? He says, the greatest gift that is lacking is the gift of discernment, the wisdom from above. I think the conference was all about that. So this is the second character. And we have a beautiful character that is the third one. So this is what happens. Jehoram did not get 1 lakh lambs and wool of 1 lakh rams, and he is totally upset and he became the king. What an insult to me. You were paying to my father. Why should not you pay to me? And then he goes to Jehoshaphat and Jehoshaphat makes an alliance and they go for a war against the king of Moab. And that's what happens. They decide to go. In verse 8, Jehoshaphat say, which way shall we go up? And he answered, in the way of wilderness of Edom. And the king of Israel, number one, went with the king of Judah, number two, and king of Edom. These three kings marching, going against the king of Moab, and made a circuit of 7 days journey, and there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. So they are going, these three kings are marching, it is 7 days past, and it is approximately 2 to 3 weeks of march. You are going to go fight against the king of Moab. Within 7 days, the water is gone. There is no water for the army. There is no water for the cattle. Look at the cry of Jehoram. The king Israel, in verse 10, said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give into the hand of Moab. Which Lord? Is it golden calf? You never asked God whether you can go for a war. And when the problem comes, God is the issue. Okay, that is our first character. And then, but Jehoshaphat said, look at the believer, no, he's really awesome. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Don't panic. Is there a word from God here? Right? That is our second character. I think he should have asked before even he went for an alliance. It is late, right? Jehoshaphat is asking, is there not a prophet? Before he made an alliance, he should have asked that. But throne of grace is all the time open for the believer. Right? Even if it is later, later is better than never. Okay? Earlier is better than later. Even if it is later, God says later is better than never. Thank God that you came to me. Okay? You should have come, but it's fine. Thank God that you came to me. That is God speaking to our second character, Jehoshaphat. Look at the third character. He is an unnoticed man and his name is not mentioned in the Bible. And one of the king of Israel's servants, one of the king king of Israel's servants, and that is in verse 11, if you are searching for, and king of Israel's servants, and answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. To me, this guy who identified the man of God is the army. Imagine, right? Now Jehoshaphat is asking, is there a man of God here? Suddenly one warrior comes running into the scene and says, I know Elisha, not just Elisha, who used to pour water in the hands of Elijah, is here. What a solution, right? Maybe a lot of people noticed Elisha in the army, the providence of God allowed Elisha to come into the army. And here is the man who noticed Elisha. Who is this prophet that is doing here? And suddenly when there is a problem and he comes running, I know the man of God, he is here. And he is army himself. The man who discerned the man of God has the word of the Lord. And then this is our third character, right? No name. And he is there. And let's go on. And Jehoshaphat said, and it happened in 2 Chronicles 18 also. There was a situation where Jehoshaphat had, is there a word of God? And there were 400 people said, okay, 400 people prophesied. And if I were in that place, after 400 people said, I think the majority wins. But Jehoshaphat is, no. Is there another prophet? I like the second character. Is there another prophet? He falls, but he clings himself to the word of God. After 400 people prophesying, is there a 401th man that I can hear the word from? That is the word of God. And that is Jehoshaphat. So in verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, yes, you have found out the right man. You are army in itself. The word of the Lord is with him. Right? You know who is our fourth character? Elisha. You know how Elisha is introduced by this unknown man? Elisha is the one who poured water in the hands of Elijah. Even the introduction is amazing. He didn't say, I saw Elisha and he is here. No. I know Elisha. I know the character of Elisha, who used to pour water in the hands of Elijah. You know who pours water into the hands of a master? The one who is available at all the times. Washing and cleansing in the Jewish ritual is something that is frequent. They might even do it 10 times in the morning and 15 times in the afternoon and 20 times in the night. And every time Elijah looked for water, Elisha is here, who used to pour. What a beautiful introduction to Elisha, right? The unknown man in the army said, I know Elisha, and he used to pour, I have heard about him, he used to pour water into the hands of Elijah. That is the character of Elijah, who is our fourth character. And then the story goes, now Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? Now Jehoshaphat must be thinking like, oh, I should have made a decision. What should I have? When he asked for an alliance, I should have told him that, what do I have to do with you? What light has to do with the darkness? What righteousness has to do with the lawlessness? But here Elisha is saying, what do I have to do with you, Jehoram? Go to the prophets of your father and to your prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to give into the hands of Moab. And he is still panicking. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, in verse 14, before whom I stand, I don't just stand before Elijah, but I also stand before God. Were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, that is us. You can come late to the throne of grace. It is never late. And the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. And in verse 15, bring me a minstrel. And it came about when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, you shall not see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink both you and your cattle and your beasts. This is what God said to him. Okay, here comes the water. No, he didn't say. Can you do something by faith? Dig the ditches right now, because the water is going to come tomorrow. Can you do this action by faith? God is calling us to a faith. No, can you do some miracle so that water can... No. I want you to do something by faith. If you really believe in me, work all night. Make this valley full of ditches. Oh, that is about 2 to 3 kilometers. No. Would you like to do it by faith? Do it. You have an army. The next day morning, you will not know the wind, you will not know anything, no sound, nothing. The valley will be filled with water. Do you want to see that miracle? Would you like to do this action by faith? And they did. And the water came. And you look at in verse 18, you know, he is our fifth character, that is God himself. God is saying, you guys are so worried about water for the cattle and water for the army, but I would like to tell you, God is speaking in verse 18, this is nothing but a slight thing. Water is not at all a problem to me. And what else I would do for you? I will also give the hand Moabites into your hand. What is the problem here? The problem is water. You know what God says? Take water. I'm not just giving you water. I'm giving you the enemy also into the hand. That is God. We are struggling with our need. God, this need. No, need is not at all a problem to me. I'm going to give the enemies into your hand. Abraham is scratching his head. I don't have a son. Son is not a problem. I'm going to make you a great nation. That is our God, right? You're so stumbling with your need. See my weakness. See my need. See my situation. See. No, I have a greater plan. I'm going to give the enemy into your hand. You are the church. The gates of hell shall never prevail against the church. That is our fifth character, God Almighty himself. And the sixth one is yet to come. So they go for a war, and they, as God said, God gave the Moabite into the hands of this. And in verse 21, now all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up. And you know what happened? The next day morning, the Moabites people got deceived into thinking that the water looked like red. And they thought these three kings fought with each other, and they go unprepared for the war. And the king of Israel and king of Judah and king of Edom take Moabites for a ride. And they plunder Moabites. In verse 22, they rose early in the morning. The sun shone on the water. The Moabites saw the water opposite to them as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. These three kings have surely fought together and have slain one another. Now therefore, to Moab is the spoil. But they were wrong. When they came up to the camp of Israel in verse 24, the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites so that they fled before them, and they went forward into the land, slaughtering the Moabites. Thus they destroyed the cities, each one threw a stone every piece, and so on. In verse 26, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, and he took with him 700 men who drew the swords to break through king of Edom, but they could not. In verse 27, look at king of Moab. Then he took the oldest son of his, who was to reign in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering. He is the sixth character. He looks like the world. They want to offer something to God. First of all, it is not true God. Filled with the foul superstition, they offer their own fruit of the body. We see this picture in the world. As if the guilt of the sinner can be totally appeased. And here is my son who is going to sit in my place. I'm going to offer this to this God. And that is what the world is doing. What can you do to purchase the favor of heaven? First of all, you have not known God. And these are the six characters. One is the face of the evil, Jehoram. He cleanses the entire nation out of idols. And you are thinking, wow, awesome guy. And he brings another idol. The principle is the same. But the form is different. Instead of Italy, it is going to be dosa. Right? Not a good example. And the second one is the believer, Jehoshaphat, who should have asked God before even he went for an alliance. Later is better than never. And God says, come on, you came late, but still I'm talking to you. I'm not looking at the king of Israel. I'm looking at your face. That is our second character. And the third guy who introduced Elisha, comes running from the army. I know the man of God is here. I saw him in the crowd of probably some thousands and thousands of. To me, he looked different, not just Elisha. Elisha, who was faithful to Elijah. That is our third character. And the fourth character is Elisha, who stood, ministered to Elijah, if it is required, 25 times. Just like Joshua, when Moses went on the mountain, he was waiting. He was caught up in between the golden calf and Moses. He was looking at the face of Moses. The word for the minister that is used for Joshua is the one who washes the clothes, dirty clothes of Moses. And when Elisha comes and he says, I stand also before the Lord. That is our fourth character. And our fifth character is God himself. You guys are too much worried about the water. I'm thinking about how to give the hands of Moab into your hands. Come on, change your perception. I am the God of your need, and it is in my purpose for me to meet your need. I'm talking about something bigger, Abraham. Don't just talk about Isaac. I'm talking about a nation. No, it is not there. Believe me. Dig ditches by night. Tonight, not 1 month from now. Tonight, I will come. No rain, but the water will come. And then finally, the picture of the world who does not know what is true God, the king of Moab, thinking that, okay, I will find favor from heaven. Here is my son. I'm going to offer him as a burnt offering and I cut him. But that is not true God. The sacrifice is gone. That is not God at all. What can I do to purchase the favor from him? Come on, you first of all meet true God. Then you will know that it is absolutely free. Heaven's favor is absolutely free. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much and bless the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.